Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I love seeing how fired up people get about Marcus Peters. I understand it, and it also confuses me, as weird as that statement sounds. I mean, the text line is on fire about Marcus Peters. Like, some of it is just, it's a little bit confusing to me, the stance that people have about Marcus Peters. And I want people to understand my side before we get into the hits. I do not think that Marcus Peters is a perfect individual. I wish that he was a better advocate for the cause that he is protesting for. I wish that he handled his emotions differently. But to me, at some point when you sign up for certain things, you know what you get into. We all knew this about Marcus Peters when the Chiefs drafted him. We've known this about Marcus Peters' rookie year and his sophomore season, that we all knew that Marcus Peters runs a little hot sometimes, is a little bit emotional. This season, it now appears to be a big problem with everybody. Why is it a big problem? Because if you look at the numbers of Marcus Peters, the only thing that's really changed is the interceptions. Like, everyone keeps saying that Marcus Peters has played poorly. Marcus Peters only gave up one catch yesterday. The problem is Terrence Mitchell. The problem is Eric Murray. Teams are doing the exact same thing they did last season. They're avoiding Marcus Peters. They're throwing to the other side of the field, and Peters gets 2 to 3 opportunities. Now, has he been perfect so far this season? No, he's given up touchdowns. He plays cornerback in the NFL. That's going to happen. The only thing that's changed, I would say, is this year the protest has been a different story, at least nationally, with the comments by Donald Trump. And this year he's not getting interceptions the way that he used to. Last year he would take chances and make mistakes, but he intercepted the ball more than anybody. He has one interception this year. That's the only big difference. The other problems with the secondary have not been it. So when I hear people say, trade Marcus Peters, get rid of him. You want a secondary right now led by Terrence Mitchell and Eric Murray? That's the Super Bowl formula? Like, you need Marcus Peters. And I think what's happened with Kansas City is because the Royals had such clean-cut family guys with Hosmer and Moose and Lorenzo Cain that we want all our athletes to be like that. Man, that's not how Travis Kelce is. That's not how Marcus Peters is. I can accept this. As long as you're not getting in trouble and out being a nuisance and out doing something positive for the community like Kelce and both Marcus Peters do, I can live with your imperfection and flaws. I don't need all my athletes to be the exact same. Marcus Peters is different. I just accept him for being different.
I don't need him to all be the same either, man. I just want him to not get penalties. All right? Not get penalties. All right? I mean,
but I would also say with Peters, though, sometimes you get on him for cursing in the postgame, like,
yeah, it's a bad look, man.
Every week it's just been something about Peters.
Yeah, get on Peters for cursing because he's trying to get a message out there for a cause that I believe in. All right? And he's not getting his message out there. It's a bad look, man. You go out there and you want to ask the guy about something, and you want him to talk about it. He drops 8 S-bombs in a postgame media veil, all right? Like, if you want people to take you serious on the other side of your argument, man, you've got to handle yourself differently, all right? That's a whole separate deal from the on-the-field stuff. At least last year when he punted footballs in the stands. After that, he had a good season, man. Marcus Peters didn't do a bunch of stupid stuff.
To be fair, he was also punting the football after getting interceptions last season, which certainly changed
enough,
it.
But at least they had a talk with him and said, stop it. I mean, it's been something almost every week, you know, with him. And that's all I'm talking about. It's like the caller said. At some point, one of those is going to come back and really bite you in the rear end. At least Travis Kelce's kind of cooled off, you know, since his stuff this year, all right? He had a couple of bad games. We were on him hard about that, getting penalties and acting like an idiot. And Peters hasn't. Peters is keeping doing the same thing on the field. That's all I'm talking about.
I'll be very curious to see the tone when Travis Kelce has something happen the next time they happen.
Same thing.
As a player that's not participating in the protest. As a player that is participating in the protest, because at least
you're talking about from me or from fans,
the fire from the fans and the fire from the text line is certainly different directed at Marcus Peters, who is involved in the protest, and Travis Kelce that just did it because everybody was doing it the one week, hasn't really been that outspoken and doesn't seem to have at least the outward angriness that sometimes Marcus Peters does.
I was just as critical of Kelce when he was doing that stuff. I was just as critical of Kelce last year and this year.
But you never said, though, that you felt worse about cheering for the Chiefs because Travis Kelce was on the team when he told a referee that he couldn't even work at effing Foot Locker. You didn't have the same energy and intensity towards Travis Kelce that you have towards Marcus Peters.
I wasn't on this show then. That was last fall. All right? when Kelsey pulled
his... He just got in trouble earlier this year.
Exactly. I was critical of Kelsey then. You can't do that stuff, man. You can't do that. It's idiotic. It hurts the team. Travis Kelsey hadn't had an incident either. So, yeah, if it's Kelsey, if it's Sorensen, if it's a white guy or a black guy, I don't care. Stop it. It hurts the team.
The hits.
These are the biggest stories of the day in Kansas City.
I have been waiting for that moment all my life.
We talk about them every day at 5 o'clock.
The hits. Number one.
The biggest things to get into in the game. Number one, let's start with the defense. I don't know if you can win a Super Bowl with the way that the Chiefs defense is playing right now. Let's just do the say it out loud test with the defense. You didn't get a pass rush yesterday. Your secondary was porous. You didn't force a turnover. The Chiefs' formula of bend but don't break has always been supported by the fact of Marcus Peters was going to get a pick, Eric Berry was going to make a fumble, Justin Houston would get to the quarterback. They didn't do that yesterday. The same question that the New England Patriots have to answer is now the question this Chiefs team has to answer. Can you go to a Super Bowl with your defense? No one questions the offense at this point. Brady's played at a high level. Alex Smith has played at a high level. Both offenses have been prolific so far this season. Can you stop people is a question both of these teams have to answer.
I would agree. And I think if the Chiefs defense that we saw last night is the same one that we're going to be going forward with, then absolutely not. Bill Moss came on the show today and said he let that defense look tired, and I would understand that. Week 7, quick turnaround, and I think that's part of it. Bottom line is, though, you can't keep playing that way if you want to make a deep run in the playoffs. Last night, you scored 30 points, and that should have been enough, and it wasn't.
Number 2.
I feel like there's an undeniable truth about the Chiefs' offense. Alex Smith has become the second-best quarterback in the NFL. The only quarterback I think is better than Alex Smith, at least with the way they're currently playing, is Tom Brady. I still rather have Brady, even though the stats might be pretty even. All right, let's calm down now. I don't think Alex Smith all of a sudden became better than Tom Brady. But everybody else, the only other quarterback I think this season you can make a fair argument for is probably Carson Wentz. Outside of that, he's played better than Matt Ryan. He's played better than Cam Newton. He's played better than Matthew Stafford. Alex Smith, by some miracle, through Tyreek Hill, through Travis Kelce, through Kareem Hunt, through the play calling. I don't know what it is. The drafting of Patrick Mahomes. He has turned into the second best quarterback in the NFL.
I know. He's been fantastic. And one of my favorite throws that he's made all year happened last night when he had Tyreek Hill. I mean, we're on Alex Smith about not throwing the deep ball. Man, the Chiefs are throwing it this year. And he almost overthrew Tyreek Hill. In past years, when we've seen him throw the deep ball, a lot of times it wasn't deep enough. All right, Alex Smith is playing great football right now. He's got 15 touchdown passes, the same amount he had all of last year. So we're talking 15 in 7 games this week. I'm with you. Other than Tom Brady, I'll take Alex Smith.
Number 3.
Last hit of the day this weekend, Sunday at Sprint Center. We get to see Missouri take on Kansas. What kind of game and atmosphere are you expecting?
Man, I hope it's nuts. I really do. At first, I was kind of wondering. I'm like, what's it going to be like? Will it be full? And then when the tickets sold out in minutes and both allotments were gone, I mean, I was planning on going down there and buying 2 tickets first thing Wednesday morning so my wife and I could go to the game. I wanted to be a part of that atmosphere. They didn't even come available. So my sense would be, I think it's going to feel, at least initially, like an NCAA tournament game at Sprint Center. At least that's what I hope it is.
I think it's going to be a pretty unique crowd and atmosphere. Certainly going to be a lot different to see these two teams play each other under the circumstances. You're used to seeing them play for something that matters. I do think it's going to be intense. I think the intensity of the game is going to pick up. It doesn't benefit either side to treat this game like a glorified scrimmage. It doesn't really help either side to treat it like it's the Harlem Globetrotters against the Washington Generals. But I do think it's going to be a fun, competitive pickup game that we'll see picks up intensity in the second half if the game is close. I do think it's going to be a fairly unique environment and a pretty memorable one. I don't know the next time these two teams are going to play each other. Maybe they play each other this year in the NCAA tournament. Maybe they play each other next year and they start something back up where they play each other every single season. I think the uniqueness of it and the not knowing if you're going to see it again or when causes it to be a different kind of environment. I do think it's going to be a lot of fun.
I do too. I can't wait. And I don't know who's going to win, but Carrington, what are you going to be like on Monday when we're back here if by chance Michael Porter Jr. and the Tigers pull out a win?
Oh, I mean,
should I call in sick? I mean, just tell me.
I'll just continue to talk about them winning the national championship like I have been. I mean, what else is there?
So it'd be like, number 29 knocking off number 4? Is that what it's going
to
be?
Yeah, I don't know what else I need to talk about. And that is the hits for today. I think the big story of the game is the defense, because I'm surprised I didn't notice it earlier with the Chiefs. Like, I'm kind of mad at myself for not noticing it. It was like I thought it and I saw it, but I just didn't notice it. This year in the draft, the Chiefs made a pretty clear point to focus on 2018 instead of 2017. The only draft pick that's helping them is Kareem Hunt. Now, he's been a huge help, obviously, to the offense, and he can win Rookie of the Year, but the Chiefs made a pretty clear value judgment. We're not going for it, at least via the draft, in 2017. Let's draft Mahomes. Let's draft Kareem Hunt because the expectation was for him to be the number two running back if Spencer Ware stays healthy. And let's draft a project. That strategy, at least in 2017, for the defense has not helped them. This team, the only addition they made on the defense was Benny Logan. So the Chiefs believed they were here defensively. Now, you have to expect injuries and things to happen throughout the course of the season, but I did think this, that the Chiefs' entire defensive strategy depended on Justin Houston being healthy and him being the Justin Houston of old. That if you could add Von Miller to this defense the way that I think that Justin Houston can be when he's healthy, you have a different kind of defense. Man, that has been so far a bad strategy, at least for the defense. Offensively, with Kareem Hunt, it's been a fantastic plan. Yeah. You've now turned into one of the five best offense and arguably the best offense in the NFL. But this team just has a tough time stopping people. The run defense was not going to magically be fixed by the return of 35-year-old Derek Johnson. The passing game is not going to be fixed by Steven Nelson being healthy and coming off the PUP list. Steven Nelson would have been out here getting cooked just the way Terrence Mitchell was yesterday. Terrence Mitchell got targeted 14 times yesterday. Oakland threw at Amari Cooper 16 times. Amari Cooper's not Antonio Brown. That's a clear strategy to me by Oakland's offensive coordinator of, all right, we know how to beat the Chiefs. We're not going to run the ball effectively, especially when Marshawn Lynch went out. They weren't dedicated to running the ball yesterday. You and I both thought that Oakland could try to come out and try to copy what Pittsburgh did and try to run the ball 40 times. That's not what they did yesterday. Derek Carr threw the ball 52 times yesterday. The strategy was the Chiefs can't get to us with our offensive line, and we're going to throw the ball all over the Chiefs. Now, for the conversation on Marcus Peters, at least the football player, they only threw Marcus Peters 3 times in the game. They threw it Terrence Mitchell 14 times. Phillip Gaines got 12 targets in this one. It's a clear strategy from the other team. We're not going to challenge Marcus Peters because he can intercept one. We're going to throw at Marcus, or we're going to throw on the other side of the field, and we're going to trust those guys to make plays. And so far, they haven't. I mean, you can throw the ball against the Chiefs. Danny Amendola, 6 catches for 100 yards. Alshon Jeffrey, 7 catches for 92 yards. Travis Benjamin, 5 catches for 105. Vernon Davis, 2 for 89. Antonio Brown, 8 catches, 155 yards. Last night, Amari Cooper had more yards receiving than any player in the NFL so far this season. You can throw the ball on the Chiefs. How do you fix it? What's the fix for it? Is the fix Tamba Lee coming back to this defense? Is the fix Steven Nelson? You better figure something out because I know it might look easy, at least in terms of the regular season and the schedule opens up. I mean, you're going to have to play Pittsburgh again or New England again. Can you beat them with this defense?
That's a really good question. I think that's the biggest question you have about the Chiefs right now. I think the Chiefs felt they were probably pretty good in the secondary, all right? You got what I think – I don't think Marcus Peters is necessarily having a shutdown corner type season, but he's close. Like, he's on that level. I mean, he's an all-pro. He's one of the best corners in football. I don't think what the Raiders did last night is exactly breaking news, man. The Patriots did it. Every team's throwing away from Marcus Peters. I mean, we've praised Terrence Mitchell for the way he's hung in there a lot. You know, last night was one of those nights, you know, and as far as – you know, not addressing the secondary in the draft. I mean, Eric Berry was coming off an all-pro year, and they just gave him a big contract. You know, I think they felt like they had pretty good depth at safety in Sorensen and Ron Parker, which I still think they do. I mean, I think those guys are good safeties. Now, they're not Eric Berry.
I think Sorensen got a little bit exposed yesterday when they really forced him to cover people. He got roasted yesterday, too.
He can't cover anybody.
I mean nobody in the secondary had a great day. Like, Marcus Peters might have maybe only gave up one catch yesterday. He had 2 long penalties in the game that you didn't give up a catch, but you certainly were a part of it. But Marcus Peters, to me, at least from the cornerback spot, you're right. They were depending on Eric Berry being there. But secondary-wise, and at least the other cornerback, we knew this team was shaky. We knew Terrence Mitchell was the other corner. We knew Steven Nelson was the other corner. We knew the other side of the field. That's what teams are exploiting right now. You're right. Maybe Jared Cook doesn't have the day that he has yesterday if Eric Berry's there.
Yeah, I mean, because Eric Berry essentially shut down Gronk.
At least in the game, that you shut down – at least with what we saw yesterday. I mean, they didn't have an answer for Amari Cooper yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, 11 catches, 205. You were roasting the Chiefs secondary yesterday. It was a little bit of a formula. If you can't get a pass rush, which at least the Chiefs couldn't do in yesterday's game, if you have a shaky secondary, which everyone should agree this team has a shaky secondary, and this team has been so held up by the fact that they take the ball away from other teams. They weren't taking the ball away yesterday. Yeah. What were you afraid of if you were Oakland? The pass rush? Why are you afraid of that?
Yeah, you shouldn't be.
You could do whatever you wanted to offensively yesterday.
Exactly, and that's the other part. That's the part I wanted to get to. I mean, they didn't address a whole lot on defense in the draft. I mean, they did go get Reggie Ragland and Kevin Pierre-Lewis. I mean, those are a couple of additions. I mean, Ragland's, you know, beside Derek Johnson now in there. Not a draft pick, but he's there. Yeah, I mean, the whole thing is if you're not getting to the quarterback, I mean, I feel like we're picking on the secondary a lot today, and we should.
They deserve it.
Exactly. But at the same time, man, if you're not getting to the quarterback, they can't cover everybody for 7, 10, 15 seconds, man. I mean, 7 seconds max is a long time to guard a guy, you know, and they got 0 hits on David Carr. You know, I guess you could count, you know, the Peters penalty play as a hit, but it was a penalty, so it doesn't count. I mean, they didn't get to Derek Carr at all. And if you're not going to get there, then, I mean, that's on the guys up front as well. I mean, you know, as Moss was saying earlier today, man, it's a mindset. It's not a scheme thing. So, yeah, can they win a Super Bowl this year? No, not this one. Not the one we saw last night. They got to do something different.
And, I mean, the playmakers and talent on this team, where was Justin Houston in the backfield yesterday?
That's why I'm wondering if he's hurt. I don't know what's going on with him.
I mean, yesterday was a tale of, to me, two great defensive players. I think Justin Houston, I'm not going to let yesterday obviously change my opinion about Justin Houston. When healthy, one of the 5 best pass rushers in the NFL. You saw what a dominant pass rush does in the game yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Khalil Mack yesterday with one hand pushed Eric Fisher to the ground on the most important offensive play for the Chiefs yesterday. Who got to the quarterback? It was Khalil Mack. It was Khalil Mack that got to the quarterback. That I'm with you. All of the burden of responsibility on getting stops is not on the secondary. That you need your pass rush. That we have gone from a point, at least with the Chiefs outside linebackers, to where that was the undeniable strength of the team, to now Justin Houston. It's basically him. If Justin Houston doesn't have a good day and doesn't create havoc and get pressure, I don't know where the rest of the pressure on the team's coming from. Is it consistently coming from Dee Ford? Is it coming from Frank Zombo? Who is the pressure coming from if it doesn't come? Chris Jones, everybody loves him. Where was he at yesterday in the backfield? I didn't see him getting a lot of push up the middle of the field yesterday. They didn't get pressure on Derek Carr, which obviously led to him having time. And if you're going to give Derek Carr time where he's going to throw 52 times in the game, he is going to carve you up the way that he did yesterday.
Yeah, and back to the Khalil Mack sack. You know, one of the things that I touched on that I thought would be an issue in last night's game, and I thought the offensive line for the most part did a pretty good job, but on the most important play, they didn't. Oakland rushed 3 guys. All right, the Chiefs have 5 linemen, and I understand the pressure came around from the edge, but those guards got to move. You know, they got to go help. I mean, if it's 3-on-5 and there's 2 ends meeting at your quarterback on the most important play of the game, then you got a problem there. And so, you know, Fulton had another bad snap last night. I mean, there's some holes right now in this Chiefs team. All right, again. You know, we talk about, is this Chiefs team the best team in football right now? No, they're not, because they're not the same team they were in weeks 1, 2, and 3. Right? It's a different team right now because of injuries and some other things, all right? And we're in week 7. Teams change and teams evolve as the season goes on. And the later it gets, the more banged up you get. So I'm just glad that they have 10 days off now. They got 10 freaking days to get ready for a Monday night game at Arrowhead against the Denver Broncos, in a game, in my opinion, that they absolutely have to win.
Maybe that's where you and I are just different when it comes to this team, and I'm thinking a lot more big picture for this team than at least in the short term you seem to be thinking. Man, I don't care about the regular season with the Chiefs. I know what's going to happen. This team's making the playoffs. This team's going to win the AFC West. There's only 3 teams I think can win the Super Bowl in the AFC. I think it's the Chiefs, I think it's the Steelers, and I think it's the Patriots. So to me, I'm thinking about, how do you match up against those teams? What do you need to do? You clearly don't match up well against Pittsburgh. They've beaten you the last 3 times that you've played them. That you'd obviously be nervous if you have to play Pittsburgh in the playoffs. You match up decent against New England. You beat them once this year. But you know that Brady is going to test that team, and I certainly am not feeling good in a playoff matchup against the Patriots. So to me, about this team, it's one of the teams in the AFC that has a pretty big flaw is going to figure it out. Like, I think Pittsburgh's pretty inconsistent. New England clearly can't stop anybody. The Chiefs, in my opinion, clearly can't stop anybody. Who's going to be the team to fix their flaw the most and go to the Super Bowl? And can you do it with this defense? That I'm asking, where's the reinforcements coming from? It's not like Eric Berry's on IR and he's coming back in week 14. That'd be a different kind of conversation. So we say this defense will work without Eric Berry. You better figure out a way to make it work without Eric Berry. Because I would say you will not have many opportunities like the one you could have this year The Patriots don't appear to be the Patriots of old, and you have the second-best quarterback in the NFL. And you don't let opportunities like this go when you got a chance to go to the Super Bowl. This team could be the number one seed in the AFC, and I think what frustrates people the most is it's like cheering for a basketball team that you know can't shoot free throws, or it's like cheering for a baseball team that you know has a shaky bullpen. You know how they're going to lose in the postseason. You know your team that can't shoot free throws, they're going to be eliminated in the tournament because they can't shoot free throws. Or you know at some point your closer is going to be exposed, and he's going to give up three runs in the ninth. I feel like yesterday, or at least over the last 2 weeks, we've seen how the Chiefs are going to lose. They're not going to be able to get stops. That it's going to feel a lot like 2003, yeah. And this team's going to lose 35-34 in the postseason. Alex Smith will play well. Kareem Hunt will play well. Tyreek Hill will play well. But this team's going to give up 144 yards to Brandon Cooks and lose in the playoffs.
See, I mean, you're looking at like this team's going to the playoffs, and it's a lock that they're going to win the division. Not if they don't beat Denver. I mean, Denver's got San Diego this week. All right, that could get them to 4-2. They roll into Arrowhead, beat the Chiefs, and all of a sudden they're, 5-2, and the Chiefs are 5-3, and all of a sudden the Chiefs are looking up at the Broncos. I don't count it as a lock with that defense right now that the Chiefs are going to win the division and just waltz into the playoffs. So I am more concerned on the short term than I am the long term right now. The regular season does matter. I mean, can you imagine the Chiefs have to go on the road? They win a wild card, and they got to go on the road to Pittsburgh? No shot, man. The regular season, I think, is more important than ever right now because the Chiefs, in my opinion, if they're going to have any shot to get to the AFC title game, they better win the division, they better have a home field play or a home game in the playoffs, and hopefully get the AFC title game in Kansas City, because I don't feel like with that defense you can go on the road and beat New England in New England or go on the road and beat Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh. So, yeah, the next 10 days and the Monday night game against Denver is a big deal to me.
We asked Bill Moss earlier what his fix would be to the Chiefs right now, and he had a pretty interesting answer. And we had a lot of guests this week on the MUKU rivalry, talking Chiefs and MUKU on The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Dos Equis, from the MVP Electric Heating and Cooling Studios, 610 Sports Radio.
We didn't get a chance to get into this during the hits. We can talk about it more now we have a little bit more time. I thought the officiating in this game was pretty bad. I don't think the officiating is why the Chiefs lost the game. You allowed the other team's quarterback to throw for 400 yards, and you didn't really get to them, and you didn't really force a lot of turnovers and pressure, so that certainly is a bigger reason of why you lost. I think the officiating should always at least be at a B grade. I expect they're going to make mistakes. Sure. They're not robots. Like, they are human, so the human element is going to factor itself in. I thought that too many times yesterday the officials, I thought, messed up in pretty critical situations. Like, I think the Amari Cooper play is a clear pass interference. Officials never allowed defensive players to do what Amari Cooper did. Like, if it was reversed and Amari Cooper was the defensive player and I can't remember who the inside player was in that. I think it was Terrence Mitchell, but I could be wrong. If it was the other way around and the defensive player did that to get an interception, they always call pass interference in those scenarios. Like, the rules are pretty slanted towards the offense in those kind of in that kind of situation. So in this, I thought it was pretty clear that Amari Cooper pushed off, I would say the same way that Michael Crabtree did towards the end of the football game. I think that's pass interference. I'm surprised they didn't call it. That obviously put points directly on the board for the Oakland Raiders. I thought the penalty on Eric Murray was maybe one of the worst penalties we've seen so far this year. I still don't know what it was. They said defensive holding. That didn't look like defensive holding to me. That looked like a normal football play. It cost the Chiefs 4 minutes. The ball got punted down to the one-yard line. Now, the Chiefs scored a 99-yard touchdown. That's certainly not something I'm going to bank on happening all the time. And, albeit I think a lot of the calls at the end of the game were the correct call, and I can't really make too many complaints about the end of it, very rarely do you see a team get three opportunities to win the game at the end. Oakland had the ball on the 10 and two times at the five-yard line. Man, you give any NFL team, I don't care if you're the Patriots or the Cleveland Browns, if you're going to give me the ball on three chances in a goal-to-go situation and two times from the five-yard line, you're going to find a way to score. It's hard to continue to defend it. Now, the Chiefs did things to put themselves in the situations, but the officials did not give them a lot of help yesterday in the game.
Yeah, I don't think it was a well-officiated game either. I believe that was pass interference early on in the game, too, with Amari Cooper, and it was Terrence Mitchell. I'm with you on that. The only issue that I have with this whole thing, and I'm going to play a cut for here. Let me start with this. This is Andy Reid after the game when he was asked about the officials.
It came down to calls, one way or the other. I mean, it came down to calls, and it's too bad that way.
All right. So here's my thought on it. All right. I don't think the refs cost the Chiefs the game last night. I don't think that's the deal. All right. I think you're in one or two camps here. You're in the camp where you're like, let the players play it out. Let them decide the game. Or you're in the, you know, listen, the refs need to swallow the whistle late in the game. If you're in that camp, I think you're a hypocrite. And the reason I say that is this. If that's what you want, like if you want the refs to eat the whistle and let the players decide it on the field, if that's the case, then that the Chiefs lose anyway. Because if you want the ref to eat the whistle and do that, then they're not calling a penalty on Michael Crabtree when he pushed Marcus Peters and got called for offensive pass interference. So you can't have it both ways. I don't think the officials did a really good job last night at all. I think earlier in the show, I gave him a C-. I'm going to bump that down to a D because I think the more I think about it, they were bad. But for anybody that's going to sit here and tell me that cost the Chiefs the game, I've got an issue with that. I mean, the Chiefs had the ball with 4.5 minutes to go in the game. The Raiders were rushing 3 players. It was a 3rd and 4. The Chiefs had 5 linemen, and Alex Smith got sacked. All right? They had a 9-point lead. Or what was it? Was it 6 at that point, mm-hmm. I think? When that happened, they had a 6-point lead. They had a 2-possession lead. In the fourth quarter, and they couldn't hold it. So that's not on the officiating. That's on the Chiefs.
No, I mean, the Chiefs had multiple opportunities to win the game yesterday, and I don't want to use the officials as a scapegoat. I mean, the Chiefs had a 9-point lead in the fourth quarter of the game. You got to find a way to go out there and win that football game. You're on the road. You're banged up, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. Man, you had the ball with 4 minutes to go with the chance to win. I'm not putting this on the offense. This problem is not on the offense.
No, they scored 30, man.
But you had multiple opportunities to go out there and close it. Hell, all you got to do is get a stop in one of those scenarios, and you can still can win the football. The Chiefs had every opportunity to go out there.
Man, I just 4th and long, too. I mean, they had Oakland in 4th and long.
Yeah, and remember, they had the, I think it was offensive pass interference. That it would have been 3rd and 10. It was then 2nd and 20, and then they got a 40-yard pass completion in that one to completely flip the field. The Chiefs had multiple opportunities, and I just think in this, man, the Chiefs' defense is maybe a bigger, like, maybe you and I maybe disagree. Like, I think their defense is like an 8 on a problem, and you think it's a 7.
Yeah, I just got to see them after the short week. I'm going to cut them a little bit of slack on that. If they suck against Denver, I'm with you, man. I'm on your side on this.
I just, to me, the suck part, like, maybe that, I don't think Denver is a good offensive team. So, like, if you slow down Denver, that doesn't tell me that you're a good defensive team. Denver can't really score. Trevor Siemian, He might throw you a couple long week. I know how Andy Reid prepares for bye weeks. That doesn't do it for me, man.
Yeah.
Like, I've just seen that you can move the ball against this team. And yesterday, I keep hearing about, man, this team should blitz. This team should blitz. Derek Carr against the Chiefs blitzes yesterday. These numbers are courtesy of Pro Football Focus. 9-for-11, 132 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Even when they were trying to send pressure yesterday, it would be a big deal. That we say this defense works. A lot of people on the text line have texted in today. Man, this defense, it works a lot better when Eric Berry's in it. Man, Eric Berry is not coming back in 2017. That if that's the key to making this defense good, man, this team's not going to the Super Bowl. I think this team legitimately has a chance to win the Super Bowl. I think the Chiefs are one of the 8-9 teams in the NFL. You can say, all right, that team can win the Super Bowl. I don't care what they've done in the past. I don't care about Marty and what happened with Carl and all that. This Kansas City Chiefs team in 2017 has a chance to win the Super Bowl. If you get the quarterback play that you've gotten with Alex Smith, if you have the running game that they appear to have with Kareem Hunt, if you have the explosiveness of Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, you have a chance to win the Super Bowl with that offense. And the same concerns I have for New England, I have for you. If this defense was just average in giving up yards, if they were like 17th in the NFL, that's good enough. Last year, we saw with Atlanta, you don't have to have the 2000 Ravens defense to go to the Super Bowl, but you got to be able to get stops when you need to. This Chiefs defense has shown so far this season that everybody can pass on them. I don't care if it's a short week. I don't care if it's a long week. Everybody's throwing the ball against them. New England threw the ball against them. Philadelphia threw the ball against them. Pittsburgh threw the ball. Oakland threw the ball against them. Man, you can throw the ball and move the ball against the Chiefs. That I look at this team, Terrence Mitchell, 7 catches for 134 yards and 2 scores. Daniel Sorensen, 5 catches, 81 yards, gave up a touchdown. Eric Murray, 5 catches, 87 yards. Man, is that getting a whole lot better between now and the playoffs? Are you getting some reinforcements? And I feel like we've kind of treated Tamba Hali and Steven Nelson like they're just going to come in on this white horse and save the Kansas City Chiefs. Man, Steven Nelson would have been out here getting thrown on the same way that Terrence Mitchell was yesterday. He wasn't stopping Amari Cooper. Like, this team, I don't know if they have the horses or at least the scheme unless Justin Houston becomes Khalil Mack in the playoff game and is a man child. That's what Khalil Mack was yesterday. Oakland's defense was not good yesterday. But a couple of times when they needed their star defensive player to go out there, he made a play. The biggest Chiefs offensive play of the game, Khalil Mack goes out there, gets a sack. Man, that's what your star defensive players have to do in these big-time situations.
And that's why I'm not being, you know, crazy here. I wonder if there's something going on with Justin Houston. I'm serious. Like, I don't understand how at least one time he doesn't almost get to the core. Like, I don't understand what's going on with him. Maybe it's because, listen, they don't, you know, defenses don't think that they're not respecting D4. They're not respecting the rest of the defensive line. They don't worry about the blitz. I mean, because the Chiefs are rushing three a lot and dropping a lot of guys back. That's what the Chiefs have been doing. And it's worked a lot. I mean, it worked against New England. They had to pick their spots where they blitzed. I don't know if that's the case or not. I do know this. The offense, and it'd be terrible to waste such a great offensive year because the Chiefs can't stop somebody. You know, I went back and I looked at, and I was curious at how many teams had scored 30 points this season and had lost a game. So I went back and looked at every single game this season. And it's only happened 8 times. Last night was the 8th time. You know, and one of them, the first one of the year, was actually on a Thursday night game in the Rams 49ers game. Cowboys, which, by the way, if you're looking ahead to that game in a couple of weeks, the Cowboys have scored 30 points twice and lost. So they don't have much of a defense either.
Yeah, I mean, their defense is bad.
Yeah, it's terrible. So if you want to see an entertaining shootout of a game, it's probably going to be the Chiefs and the Cowboys. I don't know, man. Eric Berry's not riding through here. I'm with you on that. But they got to figure something out. I don't think that they're as bad as they were last night. The up and down of the season, I mean, rosters, it just changes the way the season goes based on injuries. And that's why I picked the Raiders last night to win the game. I think it's easy to sit back, and I'm guilty of this too, just to sit back and say, man, the Chiefs have won 9 in a row. Man, 12, they won 12 straight AFC West games. Man, they own Oakland. Look, they beat them 5 times in a row. I think every single game has its own unique qualities, you know. And for this game, I didn't like it. I didn't like it one bit. Traveling, injuries, all those things. Oakland, hungry as hell. I mean, Oakland, they had to win last night's game or they had absolutely no shot. And we can look at stats and say, okay, this – man, look at these stats, and this supports this. But the bottom line is, when a team's back against the wall,
ain't no stat for that.
There ain't no stat for that. There's no stat for a team that's backed into a corner. And I think that's what we saw last night. That's a real thing in the NFL. Therese talked about it when we asked him about Alex Smith and drafting of Pat Mahomes. Like, that's a real thing. There's no statistic for it. You can't go on Pro Football Focus and look at it, but it exists. And Oakland played like a team that was playing for its life last night. And I didn't like that game from the beginning.
Bill Moss says that this team has the players to go ahead and fix it, and it's not a Bob Sutton issue.
Well, it's the guys that got to fix it. The guys have to fix it. And then the worst thing that can happen, and this happened with Greg Robinson too, the worst thing that can happen if this starts, oh, you got to play a different scheme. You have to play a better scheme. You know, and that filters into the locker room, and the guys don't even understand a scheme. But if they have something to hang their hat off, not my fault, it's a scheme. You know, that's a scary thing too. You have to be real careful of that.
I mean, this is the scheme the Chiefs are going to run. This is, for the most part, the horses they're going to have. And I think you can say, just based on what we know about the NFL, at some point you are going to be without certain individual pieces on your team. Like, at some point this team's going to be without another key member of their defense. That's just the way football works, and someone's going to be injured. Who's going to step up? Who's going to fill in those roles? Because right now the blueprint to beat the Chiefs appears to be very clear. Avoid Marcus Peters and don't throw to his side too many times because he's going to catch one and make you pay.
Yeah.
Throw to the other side of the field in Terrence Mitchell. I mean, Terrence Mitchell, by the end of the season, is going to be the most targeted wide receiver. He got targeted 14
times. What's he at for the season, you know?
Yesterday? I don't have the stat right in front of
me. It's got to be crazy.
I mean, I would imagine he's top 5 in the NFL. Yeah. And yesterday, after 14 targets yesterday, I mean, Philip Gaines got targeted 12 times in yesterday's game. It's clear what the other team is doing. Why would I ever throw at Marcus Peters' side?
Yeah.
Like, we know he can intercept it.
Yeah.
Why would I ever do that? We knew that from the beginning of the season, and teams are exploiting that right now.
Yeah, the thing that scares me a little bit is the fact that I think the Raiders showed a poor man's formula with how to beat the Chiefs. You know, it's easy to look at the Steeler game and say, Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, they ran the football, they ran it on third down, they threw it to Antonio Brown. But teams don't have those guys. The Raiders gave you the poor man's formula last night. Just throw it up, man. I mean, going into that game, the Raiders threw the deep ball less than any other team in the NFL. 12 deep balls going into that game. The the Pittsburgh Steelers threw the second fewest number of deep balls coming into this week, and it was 25. All Oakland did was throw it up there. I don't even understand a couple of those routes. At first, I thought they were mistakes when two receivers were running the same round. Then they did it again and again.
That happened a bunch of times throughout the course of the game.
Didn't you think that was a mistake at first?
Romo kept pointing it out.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, okay, they're doing that on purpose. They're basically throwing Hail Marys anywhere on the field because their guys are going to jump up and get it. The Raiders put together a poor man's formula how to beat the Chiefs in their secondary, and that scares the heck out of me going forward.
Text line 69306. Get your questions in right now. We end the show as we do every week with Ask Us Anything. Excuse me. Goodness gracious, my throat.
They're going to ask you why you're coughing.
Yeah, no, get your questions in right now. Text line 69306. Ask Us Anything next on The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Dos Equis from the MVP Electric Heating and Cooling Studios, 610 Sports Radio.
I have a question.
Yes.
In these conjugal visits, you can have sex with women?
Yep.
You sure can. Okay, I'll do it.
That's a very good question.
Yes, I thought so too.
Ask Us Anything. Text line 69306. This is where you get an opportunity to direct the show. What questions do you have? Well, we will answer your questions right now in our segment, Ask Us Anything. A lot happening this weekend. First, K-State is taking on Oklahoma in a very important game for the Wildcats as they look to salvage a season I thought was going to be a lot better than it's been so far this season.
The Wildcats are missing opportunity this year, man.
We got our fantasy football show on Sunday. We got our Showdown for Relief pregame. Fesco, Kling, myself, presented by Sheet Metal Workers Local Union Number 2. The MU broadcast of Kansas versus Missouri at 3 o'clock. And after that, the postgame show with myself and Mike Welch. A lot of fun will be had on 610 Sports over the weekend. I know you're used to Monday through Friday, but the fun is 7 days this week.
Hey, let's not forget, I mean, we are the football station in Kansas City, too. On 1660 over on Sunday, we got Tampa Bay and Buffalo at 11:30. And then at 3 o'clock, you got Denver and the Chargers on 1660, our sister station.
You ready to answer questions?
Let's do it.
C-Dot, who is your go-to team on NBA 2K? I really like Milwaukee and Minnesota. Like, I try to pick a different team. Why do I like those two teams?
Well, I guess Minnesota, I get, but I mean, I'm not up on the Milwaukee Bucks. Like, you like playing them?
Milwaukee has probably the...
the Greek Freak team?
Giannis plays on the Milwaukee Bucks. Right. Yes, he does. I think he's just a really good player on the video game. He just exploits a lot of mismatches. Jabari Parker's a mismatch at the four. I really like their team. Minnesota, I mean, that same kind of thing. Wiggins is kind of like Giannis. He's not as good defensively as Giannis. Carl Anthony Towns, like, I think they're a pretty, pretty good team. Those are probably the two. I used to play with Houston a lot, but now Houston's too popular. They're whack. I don't want to play with Houston anymore.
You got to go counterculture on your NBA 2K.
Yeah, I just think that in NBA 2K, because of the way the NBA is structured, everybody plays with the same three teams, that I just try to pick a different team that's not a part of those teams.
Yeah, you got to get out of there. If somebody's playing the Warriors, picks the Warriors, you got to get out.
The Warriors are like, I assume you can't play the game if you pick the Warriors.
Yeah, if you pick the Warriors, or the Cavs. Or the Cavs, too.
Yeah, like, if you pick those two teams, like, you're not, I just assume you're not any good at the game. That's the only way that you can win the game. Text line 69306. I think we asked this before, but I can't remember the answer.
Yeah.
Is Mike Fanning at Van Subaru a relative of yours?
He's not. We hear that a lot. I don't think. I mean, might be. I know the who's the other Fanning guy at Van? I don't know, man. He might be.
Fanning?
Blake Fanning. No, that guy's not. I think Mike Fanning maybe, because his son is Jason, who's my cousin. So, yeah, I think so.
He's related to you.
I think so. If that's the same Mike Fanning. I mean, there's, If that's the same Mike Fanning, you sell tires, and that's the guy. Yeah, he is.
Text line 69306. Driving to Vegas next weekend, what snack should I pack? I would say a plane ticket. That sounds awful.
Yeah.
Driving to Vegas from Kansas City sounds absolutely awful, especially with how cheap it is to fly to Vegas. So I would get on Allegiant Air or Spirit or Frontier, and I would. There's no way I'm driving to Vegas. Like, I've reached the point. If the drive's more than 8 hours, I'm good. Like, I'll drive to Chicago. I'll drive to Indianapolis. I'll drive to Denver. But anywhere other than that, I don't even drive to Denver. It's too cheap to fly to Denver. But, yeah, I'm past the road trip stage of my life.
My wife and I drove to Boise, Idaho a couple of years ago. We spent 3 days getting there the first day. We went 23 and a half hours straight through on the way back, and it was awful. I'm done, too, man. I'm done with those kind of
drives. I just can't do it. Like, flying is just – it's so easy and – easily available. Why would I drive the car?
I will tell you this.
Why would I get in the car?
You meet some really interesting people when you drive. I mean, the most random people and interesting people just driving, whether it's in a, you know, getting gas, whether it's eating somewhere, whether it's, you know, spending the night. So, I mean, which you don't get because everybody's got their earbuds in and on a laptop reading a book in an airport.
Say the last time that I did take a drive, it was when we were in Surprise and I drove to the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
It was really cool to drive and see the things. Like, you do miss some things when you fly in the air. You're not really paying attention there. It was cool to drive through the mountains and see and kind of like feel the change in elevation and
the temperature.
It was definitely different. Like I did appreciate the drive. I liked how long it was. It was peaceful. I got to listen to a podcast when I was there. So I do understand the appeal. The drive was also 3.5 hours. It wasn't as long to drive from Kansas City. Like I'd have just flew. I'd have figured out a way to have flown in that scenario. Halloween, Thanksgiving, or Christmas. Halloween is not cool once you're out of college. Like nothing excites me about Halloween.
Yeah, I'm not a big Halloween guy.
We're
a festive family. Like, we got to have all the stuff, man. We got a couple hay bales out on the porch. You know, I got a big orange leaf wreath cooking right now. But for me, it's Christmas. Always will be.
I mean, Christmas is only better to me because of the gifts. Like, that's the only difference to me between Thanksgiving. They're the exact same holiday to me. I eat the exact same foods.
Yeah.
You can watch Christmas movies on Thanksgiving now because it's like, what's the difference? Like, I would say Thanksgiving is probably a bigger deal in our house because of we watch the football game, and then after the 3 o'clock game, we always put the tree up, and then we always kind of take a vote of when my mom will take the tree down. Like, I have not told you a story before, but it was 1 year the tree was still up on Easter, and we hid the Easter eggs from my sister in the tree, and we called it the Easter tree.
Yeah.
So every time my sister now sees the tree, it's called the Easter tree
because
it was still up. So, I mean, I would say Thanksgiving in my home is a bigger deal than Christmas. I mean, it's obviously a cool thing. My sister is still young enough that Christmas is still pretty important. But after we open up the gifts, Christmas becomes like every other day.
Yeah. I like the lead up to Christmas. That's my favorite part of it. You know, because decorate the house, man. You got a fire going, the tree cooking, you got sports on. You don't even need to turn on any lights in the house, man. You got your Christmas lights on, your tree. I just like the lead up to it. I've always loved Christmas more than any other holiday, other than July 4th.
Text line 69306. Are you paying for a pay-per-view to watch exhibition basketball? I will actually be at the game, so I will not be paying for the pay-per-view. But if I did not have tickets to the game, I 100% would be paying the $40.
No, I'm absolutely going to have to do it. I didn't get a credential, man, so I'm not going to be able to be there. So here's what I'm going to do, C-Dot. I'm going to get the pay-per-view, live stream it, right? But I'm going to listen to Mike Kelly on 610 Sports Radio, call the game. Because you can still listen to the game, man. You want the Emmy broadcast? 610 Sports Radio.
I'm not really much of a radio guy when it's on TV. I listen to it in the car. Like, I understand some people do that. Like, I know people that go to Chiefs games and they take the headset and they, like, it doesn't really do much for me. I certainly appreciate it. I was actually talking to somebody at Winning Streaks yesterday about this. We are all homers for our hometown broadcaster.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, you can't tell me that Mike Kelly isn't one of the 10 best broadcasters. Like, I love Mike Kelly.
You go around the country and people don't like Denny Matthews. I remember when I moved to, you know, the Detroit area, man. Ernie Harwell, he's terrible. Ernie Harwell's a legend, man. He's in the Hall of Fame. But he didn't do it for me. But if you get somebody else from Cleveland or somebody else comes out of Kansas City and you're like, Denny Matthews? But Denny's our guy. So, yeah, when I'm watching the Chiefs games at home on Sunday when I'm not there, man, I got the radio broadcast on, and I can also hear the TV, so I can get both views.
I always say, I remember the first time I ever met Bob Davis, I told him, I said, I'm a big fan of yours in baseball season. And then in basketball season, I think you're over the top. Like, he used to have the ability to make just regular doubles feel like they're going to be home runs, or like a fly out to the warning track. You would think it was going to be a home run.
I love Bob, man.
But Bob during KU games was always so over the top, and I just couldn't do it. And normally when he was excited, that meant KU was winning, and I wasn't really for that.
Yeah, I get it. What else we got, man?
Text line 69306. Honest prediction for the KU-MU charity game. I think Kansas is going to win. I know I've been joking all week and pissing KU fans off. KU is one of the three best teams in the country. Missouri, I think it can be a good team by the end of the season. Man, six new parts, a lot of freshmen. I just doubt at this stage of the season that Missouri is able to beat Kansas. I think it will be competitive. I think it'll go down to the last 6 minutes or so. I just think at this point, with how veteran of a team that KU is, I think KU wins this game.
I think it's hard to pick against KU in this game. But I'm looking forward to seeing Missouri. I mean, I want to see Malik Newman. I want to see a healthy Azubuki. But I want to see the Mizzou guys. Like, I'm really excited. Even as a KU guy, I'm excited to see Missouri's guys. Man, you've talked so much about it. You got me all fired up to see him.
Last question. What do you make of Tony Romo?
You know what? He's a little much. Like, he needs to just pipe down and let the play-by-play guy or the sounds of the stadium take over. But I get it. He'll get that, man. You got to let the game breathe a little bit. I think his knowledge is terrific. I think the full game of Tony Romo is a little bit much for me. But when I saw him on sporadically when he was doing other games, I thought he's fantastic.
I think he's fun because he's excited about it.
Yeah.
He seems happy to be there. Like,
yeah, he does.
You can tell how green he is, and it's exciting to see. Yeah. I'm not really a broadcaster guy, but I think Tony Romo's been fine. Check out the podcast page. A lot of Chiefs, a lot of MUKU. M-I-Z. We out of here.
The Drive, presented by Dos Equis, from the MVP Electric Heating and Cooling Studios, 610 Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.